Blog Talk Radio.
Come on, everybody, put your hands together. It's got to get better. All over the world, listen to these words. People come.
People go.
Your life has been out of control. You're confused. But don't worry.
Don't worry.
You know, Epic Friday afternoon, it's time for Power in the Word. Let's put our hands together. Let's welcome Reverend Ellen Jacobs to the mic at this time.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Every time I hear that, it's got to get better. I just smile because we know that that is the truth. God is in control, and things are going to get better. Well, good afternoon, everyone. This is Power in the Word, and we are certainly so happy to be here with you. And we start usually with a psalm, and I'm going to start with, I think this is about the shortest psalm in the Bible, Psalm 13. And it starts our program so very well, the program for today. We're talking about prayer, and we'll continue. That's what we've been talking about for the last two weeks. And we will continue that. But let's start first with Psalm 13. And my Bible under the Psalm 13 has a title, The Prayer for God's Answer Now. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long will my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and hear me, O Lord my God, and lighten my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death, lest my enemy say, I have prevailed against him, lest those who trouble me rejoice when I am moved. But I have trusted in your mercy. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. And I think all of us can say that, because I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. And I think we can all testify to God's bounteous gifts that he has given us, the gift of life especially, and the gift of being here together today to rejoice and remember God's bounty and kindness and love. Okay, and so that's our psalm for today. We can move off into our the rest of our program. Most of today will be devoted to talking about prayer, but with examples of prayer, with comments made about the contents of prayer. And so we will start today with, but before we even start, I just want to say what how did we get here? We started with Daniel. We were talking about the book of Daniel, and Daniel prayed three times a day. The prayer delivered them from being totally exploited, oppressed, destroyed by the Babylonian captors when the book of Daniel first started. They prayed to be delivered from the lion's den. We all know that story. And they prayed to be delivered from the fiery furnace. We heard that story. And we realized that these terrible instances that they went through, their captivity by the Babylonians, their being placed in the fiery furnace, their being placed in the lion's den, that these are things that metaphorically refer to, for us, to the things that we suffer. They are very, very difficult circumstances that we are faced with. And we know that the part of the answer to the resolution of the horrors that we go to is prayer. And so we are looking at prayer in depth. And last week we spoke about prayer as being that which is our technology for getting through to, not just getting through, but getting through to the life we are supposed to live, that life of peace, prosperity, love, health, joy, and all that good stuff. That's where we are supposed to be. And we are convinced that that is possible for us right here and right now in the flesh. And so, therefore, most of the people that we speak with or people we're associated with are people who are on the path of regeneration. That is achieving peace, love, joy, health, wealth, success, and great comfort that we have been promised by God, himself, herself, itself. And so, therefore, prayer is our technology. And so, to continue in this discussion and knowledge, I'm going to ask if you are not speaking, if you put your phone on mute, because we are having some interference in the hearing. Okay, thanks so much. Elva Stewart came across this poem by James Dillard Freeman, and those of us who are familiar with Unity know that he is one of the foremost poets of New Thought Christianity. And so I want to just begin our program with this. And after I'm going to speak about the story of it and also read the poem, and Elva is going to speak to us about how this poem called I Am There by James Dillard Freeman is associated, how it associates, how it relates to our discussion of prayer. And so I just want to give a very brief synopsis of what happened, why he wrote this poem, and I'm going to do it very quickly here. It was 1947 when James Dillard Freeman heard the words that would inspire his most beloved and widely known poem, I Am There. His wife, Catherine, was in the hospital after undergoing surgery for cancer. It was a time of deep personal need, Freeman recalled. I was in great anguish of spirit. When the doctors told him Catherine had terminal cancer, he left the hospital and went to the Silent Unity Prayer and Healing Room at the then Unity headquarters of 917 Tracy Avenue in Kansas City, Missouri. God, he prayed aloud, if you are there, please allow my Catherine to live. Oh God, where are you? Freeman would later recall that he heard a clear and audible, empathetic voice, and it spoke to him and said, do you need me? I am there. He looked around, but he did not see anyone at all. And so while he bowed his head, he could still hear the words and felt hope and comfort. Upon reflection, Freeman recalls the hospital scene when the doctor emerged from the surgery room. The doctor said to him, I'm sorry, the cancer has spread. He said Catherine had just months to live. A few days later, while she was still in the hospital, Freeman shared the doctor's prognosis with Catherine, but she seemed to already know. Excuse me. Amid her weakened condition, he said, the couple kept an upbeat facade to comfort each other. Freeman recalled taking her hand and laying down beside her. All at once, there was a presence in the room with us, and we knew we were not alone, Freeman later wrote. Several days later, he took Catherine home. She was in a lot of pain, Freeman said, but her courage carried them both. In the evenings when pain was nearly unbearable, Freeman would often read to her the words he heard in the chapel. Catherine lived 10 months after the diagnosis. Although a great loss to him, Freeman said he did not lose faith. Rather, he was sustained by his wife's faithful influence. He said the experience taught him that God's love is always present. The original verses of I Am There tell of each phase of the months leading to Catherine's transition. Freeman remembered the question, do you need me? And the divine response of assurance, I am there. And so many of us need that reassurance. We all do. And so the poem reminds us that when we need that reassurance or the divine response of assurance, we can be sure that those words can reverberate in our consciousness, I am there. On August 17, 1971, the poem was carried to the moon by Apollo 15 astronauts James B. Irwin, David Scott, and Alfred Worden, stored in a microfilm file. The poem was intended to be left there for future space explorations. Freeman received a letter from Irwin on August 30, 1971, verifying that, in fact, his I Am There poem was on board the Falcon lunar module on its mission to the Hadley Apennine region of the moon. In November of that year, Irwin visited Unity Village to meet with Freeman. The poem was also adapted into a planetarium video at the U.S. Air Force Academy in Colorado Springs, Colorado. A musical score, artwork, photographic support, and special effects were added, and the adaptation was named A Christmas Star. It was shown to the public for the first time at the Academy in December 1980. Freeman saw the production in December 1980. I would like to read you the poem now, and several of you may be very acquainted with it. And it's always good to hear I Am There by James Dillett Freeman. Do you need me? I am there. You cannot see me, yet I am the light you see by. You cannot hear me, yet I speak through your voice. You cannot feel me, yet I am the power at work in your hands. Only in absolute stillness beyond self can you know me as I am, and then but as a feeling and a faith. Yet I am there, yet I hear, yet I answer. When you need me, I am there. Even when you feel most alone, I am there. Even in your fears, I am there. Even in your pain, I am there. I am there when you pray and when you do not pray. I am in you and you are in me. Though you may not see the good, good is there, for I am there. I am the law on which the movement of the stars and the growth of living cells are founded. I am the love that is the law's fulfilling. I am your assurance. I am your peace. I am one with you. I am. Though you fail to find me, I do not fail you. Though your faith in me is unsure, my faith in you never wavers because I know you, because I love you. Beloved, I am there. Beloved, I am there. That's a lovely, wonderful poem. I am there. And we are all aware of the I am presence that is within each one of us. And so this poem is such a beautiful one, and a very famous one. And so that is our poem. And so I would like for Elva Stewart to speak to us this afternoon about the connection between this poem, I Am There, and our study of affirmative prayer. Elva, are you available? Go right ahead.
Yes, I'm here. Thank you, Reverend Ellen. This is a very powerful piece, the one that you just read. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's when we are faced with tough times or events we don't understand, many of us turn to prayer for the strength, the courage, and the comfort that we need. And this is what we saw Mr. Freeman do. This is what Myrtle Fillmore did in her time of illness. And this is what we saw Daniel and his Hebrew friends doing. And it's what Jesus taught his disciples when he gave them the Lord's Prayer. He gave it to them in a affirmative prayer. He said, "Do it this way." And so, and these things that occur, or the healing that takes place, is just what affirmative prayer does. It's not begging, it's not pleading, it's not any of that. It's just simply, it's first of all, you know, it's positive statement acknowledging God that is already supplying whatever good we need. It's like I said, it's what Merle Fillmore used. She said, "I am a child of God." It's deniers and it's affirmations. She said, "I am a child of God." She was affirming her birthright as a child of God. "I did not inherit sickness." That was her affirmation, and in it we see that denial. So it's using affirmations and denials. What calling forth that we what we want, and releasing that we don't want. It's a style of prayer, just as supplications is a style of prayer. And each of us have our own styles that we follow. And so in New Thought, you just follow this affirmative prayer style, which consists of those positive statements, acknowledging that God is already supplying whatever we need. And so that's kind of what the affirmative prayer is about. And we know that there are statements in the Bible also that uses affirmative prayer. "I am the light of God," and others. But what Mr. Freeman demonstrated in this prayer, and I believe that's what Daniel and his friends demonstrated, that prayer is from within. You know, he heard that he was used to listen to that inner voice, but then he heard another voice speaking to him. And so it's prayer that says, "I am present." It shows God not as a what we call the anthropomorphous God, that God that we made in our likeness and our image, but it's the God that made us in its likeness and its image. It's the God that emerges from us, that God that created us. And it comes forth. It comes forth as light, energy, compassion, goodness, oneness, peace, harmony, and it bursts forth from us. And this is it demonstrated also in Isaiah, as we know. You know that this was part of the Hebrew teachings there in Isaiah, and Moses also, when he went up into the mountain and he saw God, and God told him to go back and tell the people that "I am sent me." And you know, this is, I would say, that's how the Hebrews prayed, you know, with that "I am" concept. And so in one place in the Bible, the writer writes, I think it's in Isaiah chapter 58, 8 through 12, and this is what it says. It says, "Then your light shall break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up quickly. Your vindicator shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer, and you shall cry for him, and he will say, 'Here I am.'" And so that's really powerful. Really powerful. This is what this is what Mr. Fillmore, this is what he realized, that, you know, God is here even in that sickness, even in the transitioning of his wife, in our problems, in whatever we're going through. God is always here. And it's just simply the way that the Hebrew prayed. So it was a prayer, you know, this is a prayer conference. Prayer do comfort us, it helps us, it strengthens us, it encourages us. And so it's a prayer to help one to get new understanding that God is within, as I am. And it, this was given to Moses. Again, it was given to Moses. It was given to the leader of the Hebrews. I am that I am. And I believe that long, you know, after Moses, Daniel and his friends, you know, they stuck to that. They kept true to that teaching that I am. I am statements. So what it does, it changes our perspective of this God that is outside of us and brings that God inside. And, you know, we no longer see God as somewhere separated from us or see ourselves separated from us. And that way, you know, we can heal ourselves of this feeling of separation, that, you know, we are not good enough, or any other of these negative thoughts that we hold. When we say I am and we put something positive behind that I am, we are claiming that for ourselves. And that causes, that is a action verb, I am, and it causes this, whatever it is that we need to come forth. So that feeling of being separated or God somewhere else away from us, we start to feel that oneness, as in the Lord's Prayer, the prayer that Jesus gave with the 12 disciples. He said, "Our Father." And that brought God to them. So this is the prayer that he gave them. This is the prayer that we use now. And it is very effective, very powerful. And I guess maybe that's all I have to say right now about the I am, because it's a very powerful prayer to pray. And so it's, again, it's what Mr. Fillmore, Myrta Fillmore, and her husband and the followers of that movement, it's the type of prayers that we use. It's the I am prayer, the affirmative prayer, the positive prayer. And so with that, I'll give it back to you, Reverend Ellen.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you so much. You know, we were talking about prayer as a healing modality. And mm-hmm. as you were speaking, I was just writing down that, of course, James Dillard Freeman, we can see the healing that he received from his encounter, "Do you need me?" And he says, and he heard, "I am there." So mm-hmm. that affirmation, the I am, meaning God, meaning mm-hmm. his Father, his Creator, the source of everything, is right there within us, inside us. That's where it is. So that once we can even just envision ourselves as containing this body that we are in, being the temple of the living God, really and truly, not just saying it, you know, or hearing it, but actually internalizing that idea that this body is the temple of the living God. The I am is right within us, right where we are that God is, then we can say that once we put our thoughts into words, into prayer form, that prayer will heal. And it will not only heal the body, but it will give us new bodies, will give us new ideas, will give us new experiences, new thoughts of unity with God, new claims, new relationships with God and others. One of the things, and I'm going to share this with you later, Myrtle Fillmore says we become radiators. Our energy becomes so intense that we are literally radiators of God's love, peace, knowledge, etc. We experience that. And so one of the things that she is talking about in her, some of the things that I've read, especially on the truthunity.net website, is that Myrtle Fillmore says very interesting things that I think, regardless of how steeped we are in our prayer life, and I know that the people to whom I'm speaking are prayers. We are prayer warriors. We pray. But it somehow reading about the concepts, et cetera, kind of helps us to expand where we need expansion, maybe back up where we need to back up, and make our prayers even more vibrant, alive, and effective. And so I just want to share with you some of the things that she said or she wrote that I have here on the website truthunity.net. Letters of Myrtle Fillmore, 1936, on prayer. It's not enough to pray. Prayer is one step that you take, but you need other steps. You need to think of God, the all-powerful healer, as being already within you in every part of your mind, heart, and body. To keep one's attention and prayers in the spiritual realm of mind without letting them work out into the soul's expression and into the actual physical doing of that which corresponds with the mind and heart has thought and spoken and prayed is to court trouble. To keep declaring love and power and life and substance and yet unconsciously perhaps, assuming limitations and living them will cause explosions and congestion that works out in the physical. We need to harmonize our thinking and our prayers with actual living experiences. I know that is actually what we are about. We want our thinking and our prayers and our living experiences to be related closely to each other. Sometimes we pray to a God outside of ourselves. It is the God in the midst of us that frees and heals. With our eyes of faith. So she's asking us to look within and use our eyes of faith. We must see God in our flesh. See the wholeness for which we are praying in every part of our body temple. Know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, which is in you. Glorify God, therefore, in your body. That's 1 Corinthians 6, verses 19 and 20. So I think last week or a week before, we were talking about the body being the temple of the Holy Spirit and every single part of that body as being the creation and the expression of that Holy Spirit. And so therefore, we should, in our prayers during the day, when we wake up, look and feel this body and speak about it. how it is the temple of the living God, every single part of it, including your pinky toes and so forth, all of that. It's God's creation. It is so perfectly and wondrously made that we should spend time in thinking about our bodies and how wonderful they are instead of the backache and the, you know, the stiff ankles and stiff shoulders and all that. We think about the stiffness, and we think about how it's hurting, and we think about our other physical ailments, which many of us do have, yes. But we are not giving the kind of accolades to these bodies that we have, how incredibly beautiful they are, how incredibly wonderful they are. And regardless of what you are going through, what challenge you are facing physically, this body is superb. And you know it. It is there. God created it so, and so we should, in our, as she calls it, eyes of faith, we should see these bodies as being fabulous, magnificent, and glorify God in these bodies and what God has created. She continues, prayers aren't sent out at all, so we don't send out prayer. Sometimes that is our trouble. Where would we be sending our prayers? As individuals, we should direct them to our own mind and heart and affairs. We commune with God, mind within our own consciousness. Don't forget, God indwells us. That is a very difficult concept, and we struggle with it to a greater or lesser extent according to the effort that we have put in. But in any case, prayer is an exercise to change our own thought habits and our living habits, that we may set up new and better activity in accord with the divine law rather than the suggestions we have received from various sources. And we know some of them come from us, some of them come from what we call the race thought, you know, the general public. We're not talking about, what do they call it, collective consciousness or unconscious or all that. No, we are communing with that which is within us that we have with us 24/7, that God breathed into us the breath of life and we became living souls, and we will remain living souls. We will remain living because of God being with us and in us. And that is, I know it's a difficult concept, but we must work with that because that is the truth. Also, she goes on to speak about more about prayer. We sometimes think we pray when we read and declare certain statements of truth. We have very little idea of the way in which the answers to those prayers are coming, and we do not prove that we expect them to be answered. And that's one thing about affirmative prayer, is the expectation that our prayers will be answered because they are it's already done. And so what we are actually, because we are speaking a prayer, we are actually making that prayer, or through our speech or through our thoughts, we're making that, bringing that prayer into manifestation in the material world. For almost immediately after praying, we go, but almost immediately after praying, we go on doing the things we have been doing, and we don't allow, and these things don't allow for the answers, or we wouldn't be praying for these particular things to happen for us. And we think and say that which is in accord with the prayers, and do we think and say that which is in accord with the prayer we have made? No. For example, we go into the silence and declare statements of prosperity. Then in writing a letter, we speak of lack and limitation and failure and longing, which proves that we have those thoughts and feeling of lack in our heart, and that we are really dwelling on them more strongly than we do on the truth that we have prayed. So we know that prosperity is what God has for us and what we are supposed to have. But as we talk and complain about lack and limitation, we are showing that we really don't believe that we are that we should have the prosperity that we have prayed about. So prayer then is to change mind and heart so that God's omnipresent good may fill our mind and heart and manifest in our lives. If we do not keep on thinking in accord with the prayers we have made, we do not get good results. For all thought is formative. All thought has its effect in our life. When some of our thought energy is expended in negative beliefs and feelings, and we show that we have old mental habits in the subconscious mind, we get those old negative results, even when we are praying daily and when others are praying for us. So we know very well, as we think, so it is. And so therefore, it behooves us to change our thought. When we have decided, when have a very decided part, we are to cease worrying and being anxious and thinking and speaking of the past and of the apparent lack and idleness. I'm going to repeat that. After we have prayed, we are to cease worrying and being anxious and thinking and speaking of the past and of the apparent lack. We are to concentrate all our attention upon the truth of God and the truth of our own being, upon the very things we would see taking place in our lives. We cannot do this so long as we have negative thoughts in our hearts. And so therefore then, our prayer, our attitude must be to watch our thinking. We have to change our thinking. If we want healing, then we have to think health. If we want prosperity, we have to think prosperity. If we want love, we must think love. We have to actually fit our thinking into the things that we want, and all negativity of thought, even idle thought, you know, et cetera, must cease. So that means we have to watch our thinking. That is not easy. It is not easy. However, it can be done. As we pray, the word of life is going down into us, breaking up old fixed ideas and reorganizing our life. The word of life, life as God planned it, is taking hold of our subconscious, and we know that we are free and will begin to use our freedom. Working in the consciousness of freedom, we will be happy and well and busy and prosperous, but our attention will be upon what we are doing rather than upon outer results. The results will take care of themselves once we have stated our foundation in truth. With God, all things are possible. Matthew 19:26. Those who receive spiritual help are the ones who place their undivided faith in God and who bring their thinking in line with his truth. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And so that's just some of the remarks that she has made, and she immediately makes us believe and know that we do have to watch our thinking, and we have to watch what we say. We have to watch how we say it, and we have to change that which is within us to align itself with that which we desire, which we know that God has planned for us and that God has for us. And she continues just a minute more that prayer, as Jesus Christ understood and used it, is communion with God. the communion of the child with his father, as we say at the beginning in the Lord's Prayer, our Father, the splendid confidential talks of the Son with the Father. This communion is an attitude of mind and heart that lifts the individual into a wonderful sense of oneness with God, who is Spirit, the source of every good and perfect thing, and the substance that supplies all the child's needs, whether they are spiritual needs, social needs, mental needs, physical needs, or needs of a financial nature. Positive declaration of the truth of one's unity with God sets up a new current of thought power, which delivers from the old beliefs and their depression. And when the soul is lifted up and becomes positive, the body and the affairs are readily healed. And so we know that prayer will heal us, just as Jesus said, our Father. We can talk with our Father, and we can imbue our minds with that which is positive, loving, true, upbuilding, energizing. We can do that, we can do that, we can do that. And so those are some of the remarks of Myrtle Fillmore. I would suggest everybody read her book, How She Cured Herself of Tuberculosis, and which we know is supposedly an incurable disease, went on to have several children and to build a unity movement with prayer. And today, if most of us know of prayer as the, you know, the unity prayer people, we call them when we want prayer, especially on the spot, you know. I'm sure many of us use Unity Prayer, and they have been in existence since 1930s, and they're still going strong. So I just want to, since we've heard from Fillmore, and I'm looking at my time here, I would like for Reverend Mary Lou to read for us three prayers from the book that's titled, written by Reverend Mary Lou. Oh, she was a student Grace. With us in One Spirit, Grace Victor, Reverend Grace yes. Victor. She was a student at One Spirit Seminary. She's written a book titled Affirmative Prayer. Tell me the title, the correct title, Reverend Mary Lou, please.
Yes, thank you. Thank you for this wonderful thoughts about prayer. And Grace's book is The Transforming Power of Affirmative Prayer.
Okay, The Transforming Power.
If you work it, yeah.
Okay, The Transforming Power of Affirmative Prayer by Reverend Grace Victor. And go ahead, Reverend Mary Lou. You can go right ahead.
Oh, here. Okay. So, the first prayer is about our health. So, our Father God of wisdom, you are perfect health. I believe that you wonderfully created me in your image and likeness, and that your breath continues to give me life. There is only one life, and that life is your wonderful life, which courses through my body. Abba, Father, you are so loving and wise. Every cell in my body is a center of divine intelligence. Therefore, any function that is not healthy is now corrected through grace. I ask for and open myself to receive the guidance that supports and informs me as I select and consume wholesome foods in the right portions. I practice self-care as an honor and appreciation for my body, which is your temple, and a vehicle through which I must serve. Dear Father, I realize that you must work through my body, and I am very grateful for this privilege. My desire is to maintain my God-given body in a way that aligns with my love for you and my gratitude to you. I love health. I embrace and accept health. Dear Father, I thank you for my perfect health and my many blessings. In your holy name, in the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. And so it is.
All right. It's just a minute, Reverend Mary Lou. I just wanted to say that's the prayer that is in the book. It is a lovely prayer. We can see that the affirmative statements in that prayer are certainly ones that all of us can adapt and use, especially if we have some kind of physical challenge, and as everybody I know just about, we have physical challenges, and so the prayer is an affirmative prayer, and I think it's a very good one. Would you agree with me, Reverend Mary Lou?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
It's very good. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, and go ahead. Go ahead.
And then a prayer about forgiveness, forgiving ourselves and also forgiving others. In an affirmative prayer. Heavenly Father, in this moment of grace, I honor the integrity of my actions, which I know are guided by your spirit within me. I release to you all tendencies to think and act in ways that are not of love. I embrace the truth that I am one with you and my fellow man. There is only one spirit. As I forgive, I am forgiven. I thank you, Lord, that through the healing power of forgiveness, I now walk with ease, in peace and freedom. Through Christ's lessons on forgiveness and my willingness to accept your grace, God, I am free. I am no longer bound by mistakes of the past, and all negative effects are negated. I accept that today, bright with hope and filled with promise, your gifts of grace come to me. I accept this grace now for all these blessings. I say thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. And so it is.
And
thank
so
you.
It is.
And
okay.
So it is.
Yes.
Yeah.
And certainly that prayer is a prayer whereby we can go to God with unburdened hearts, because if we have unforgiveness in us, that is something that kind of clogs up the way to our manifestation of wholeness and love and peace and joy and all the things that we desire. So forgiveness is a very, very critical part of our prayer life. So be sure that we forgive ourselves and others, especially ourselves. All right, and so we'll end with one more. We have time for one more. Go ahead, Reverend Mary Lou.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, this is a prayer for leaders. And we really are all leaders, so this prayer is for all of us. Dear Heavenly Father, with gratitude, I humbly embrace my holy assignment as leader of your people. I surrender my mind to you and allow you to work mightily in and through me. I ask that you bless me with my daily bread of wisdom and guidance. Strengthen me as I lay aside my personal will and embrace your will. I move forward with zeal, doing your will and leading with integrity, fairness, justice, and unconditional love for everyone. I believe in your words, which promise that angels shall have charge over us. Today, I ask for this divine protection for myself and my family and all people of every nation. I intentionally and completely surrender to your activity in my leadership and allow you to be God in every activity. I pray that this world becomes a more loving place because I execute my assignment as leader according to your blessed will. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ, who taught us to love unconditionally. Lord, I thank you for this privilege to serve in such a wonderful way and for your hearing and answering my prayers, even now. And so it is.
And so it is.
And so it is.
What a lovely way to for us to involve these ourselves in the prayers. And your Grace has written such a lovely book. I think the book came out in 2009. I know I have it. It's here. And I was so glad that Reverend Mary Lou found it and was able to share that with us so that the language is more contemporary and comfortable than some of the other prayers that we have read and said. It was a wonderful experience to go back to Grace's book, and thank you. Grace used to be on this program with us several years ago, I'm so glad we were able to use her book. All right, and so that's our presentation today about prayer. So I know there are people who would like to say something, give a comment or something about what we've had so far. And we'll have one more session on prayer next week. And after that is done, we will go into Hosea, who is very, very important as we do our Bible study. Questions, comments, anything from people who are listening.
Oh, good afternoon. This is Reverend Judith.
Hi.
I think I enjoyed listening and very informative. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Come on, Judith. I know you have something more than that. Come on, Reverend Judith.
What you want me to say? I'm enjoying myself. Can I enjoy life for a minute?
Yes, you can. And you know one thing? I'm so glad to hear your voice because sometimes I just like to be ministered to myself. So if we're ministered to you today, then we can say thank you. I'm so glad you were here and that we could put something in your head that, to think about or not.
Pleasure. It was a pleasure.
Thank you. Thank you, dear.
Anytime I hear the word prayer, my ears perk up, So thank you. You fed me well.
Yes. So thank you for sharing.
Yeah.
Anybody else?
Hello?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't know I could be heard. Last week I had a problem.
Right. And I did see that wasn't going to happen this week.
Oh, so I did get on.
Yes, I don't have
much more to add because it was so thoroughly done. I just wanted to say basically that this is a lifetime process. It's something we have to do daily and really truly believe and do not conform to the patterns of the world, but be transformed by the renewal of our minds because there's so many factors that can truly affect our thinking. And I wanted to maybe add, and I'm not sure if this is a question that I have, how does one know that the doctor is... Because most people believe in the doctors almost more so than God. Because when the doctor says you must do something, if you don't follow the doctor's orders, sometimes you experience the illness or the disease because the doctor has prescribed something and you do not listen. So how do we know the difference? I guess that may be the gist of my question in terms of staying prayed up.
Good question. Good question. I wish I could give you an answer. I really can't. I cannot, because it's very personal. And so I know one thing, that your relationship with God in the depths of your being is the thing that you are instructed by God in many, 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 many ways. And God will instruct you on that. That's a personal thing. So God has given us medical science to be able to handle some of the things that happen to us. Yes. However, we still have to have the faith in God. God can take care of us. God will take care of us. Looks like it's going to get better. I'm sorry. To be continued, everyone. I didn't check my time. And
Thank you.
So we will continue this next week. We will talk about this next week. All
God
right.
God bless you.
God bless. That's for next week. Yes. It's going to get better. Oh, yes.
Within your heart.